What is up, everyone? Thanks for joining us for another episode of The Game Cast. I am one of your hosts, Kenny, and with me is Tess.
Hey, everybody.
And we are back as the gaming industry implodes from all the craziness that's been going on this past week and actually these past years that we're finding out in the news and whatnot. We're not going to talk about our week because our week has been interesting. We're going to talk about the gaming industry because it's actually better that way. Yeah. It's better. I'm not going to, harp on the craziness happening in my house. Outside of, I did, a few people know about, us having a mouse or whatever in the house. That's been fun. But not as interesting, though, as what's been happening on Twitter and different media outlets and everything, everybody just covering what's happening at Activision Blizzard. So we figured we would just jump in this week. Want to keep things a little short. Last week we didn't. We totally forgot we were supposed to do that. And yeah. We definitely want to try this time. We want to try. So if you've been living, under a rock and all that good stuff, then you might have missed the, game industry being on fire, essentially. Activision Blizzard is being sued by Los Angeles Superior Court because of what they said, a pervasive frat boy workplace. Allegedly, and I say allegedly so we are not, we're not culpable to any type of slander, but I believe the people who are speaking up. But allegedly, male employees would get drunk and they would, crawl through the cubicles and harass women. Some of them would delegate their responsibilities to, female employees, engage in, talks about sexual encounters and, basically bother people, joke about rape, which... is really startling when I found out that there was so they had a hotel room. They would have, events where they would, other companies would have where you would have like a retreat or, they would do like where you would go to do team building exercises. I'm not really sure about how that works, but they would go and there was a room, a hotel room, that they stayed in that they dubbed the Cosby room or the Cosby suite. And a bunch of the, higher ups actually took photos with a portrait of Bill Cosby. Now this is after he was accused of rape. I just want to throw that out there. This wasn't like pre-rape Cosby. This is after the fact. And they joked about it. There's all over Twitter. There's, screen captures of, messages going back and forth between employees at the company talking about, their female employees in inappropriate ways, joking about things that they're going to do when they see them, stuff like that. And it got so bad. There's one incident where I believe they were on a trip and one person was harassed so much that they eventually committed suicide during a work trip. And they were with a male supervisor who allegedly brought inappropriate sexual items with him on the trip. So, yeah, a lot. It keeps coming. It keeps coming because certain higher ups who I guess used to work at the company and no longer work there were giving their, it's we failed you and blah blah blah, blah and we it should be better and all this other stuff, and then they show them like someone would retweet their message and then show them in the Cosby suite like with all the other people, so it's like we don't really believe you, like you're what you're saying, because it's kind of like oops I got caught, let me get in front of this before they find my tweets or find my old messages type thing. You're not showing any remorse, not really anyways. Making things worse was Activision Blizzard's initial statement where a spokesperson talks about how the lawsuit is distorted, or includes distorted or false descriptions of Blizzard's past. Wow. They said that some of the things that happened are, you know, super in the past, or, and I'm paraphrasing at this part, was, you know, in the past and had been resolved already, or were just kind of like, you know, made up. And mind you, the information that's coming forth is from employees who used to work there and employees who still work there. Some of them came up anonymous, some not so much. And they're all talking about the same thing. And so, you know, they caught, you know, Activision Blizzard caught a lot of heat from that. And so the CEO, Bobby Kotick, I think that's how you say his name. He issued another statement saying that their initial statement was tone deaf, obviously. And he promised swift action and, you know, that there was no place for discrimination and harassment and unequal treatment of any kind. Come to find out that a lot of people of color weren't being paid or promoted in the same fashion as, you know, their white employees. Just a lot of mess. And so Wednesday, mind you, this all happened this week and a little earlier, you know, last week. Activision Blizzard, a lot of the employees staged a walkout. They all walked out on Wednesday and was like, you know, I don't know if it was because, you know, like a strike is an ongoing thing. I don't know if it was a strike per se, but it was a walkout, and they had, you know, certain demands that they wanted, you know, Activision to kind of put forth. One of them was, I'm just going to go through the demands really quickly. An end to mandatory arbitration clauses in all employee contracts, current and future. Basically, what those are is they limit a victim's ability to seek restitution. Yeah. So, you know, something happens, you can't fight the way you would want to because you signed. It's in an employee contract to kind of, you know, silence you. They also wanted the adoption of recruiting, interviewing, hiring, and promoting policies designed to improve representation among employees at all levels, agreed upon by employees in a company-wide diversity, equality, and inclusion organization. The third one was, and I'm kind of going through these pretty quickly, the publication of data on relative compensation, including grants and profit sharing, promotion rates, salary ranges for employees for all genders and ethnicity. I'm trying to go fast. Basically everyone. They don't want people to be discriminated against. Current practices have led to the aforementioned groups not being paid or promoted fairly. And then four, empower a company-wide diversity and inclusion task force to hire a third party to audit Activision Blizzard's reporting structure, HR department and executive staff. All right, I'm going to stop reading this because I don't want to continue to butcher it. But basically, they had demands during the walkout. And a lot of people from other studios were, you know, spoke up in solidarity. A lot of people brought up Ubisoft because Ubisoft has their own issues with sexual harassment going on, where, you know, certain people were fired and whatnot. But Ubisoft is still kind of, they're still kind of tiptoeing around things. And so Ubisoft, Activision is in the hot seat now, but we haven't forgotten about Ubisoft. Ubisoft is there too. Right. But essentially, both of these companies have been treating women, people of color, poorly for a long time, mm-hmm. and people are fed up. So with that being said, I just wanted to paint the picture, and I have a whole bunch of thoughts, but I kind of want to hear what you have to say, being that you expressed off air that you've worked in, you know, frat boy environments.
Environment. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, you know what, how do I say this really? So yes, I've worked in a frat boy esque environment where everything is crazy. You party hard, you work hard. And it's especially, I mean, this is not necessarily a small company, but like there are companies out there that are small sales driven type companies that make killings. Like they're right. The only type of company that does what they do, and they make so much money. Mind you, they do work their butts off to do whatever it is that they're doing. whether it's on some sort of project that's, you know, whatever it is, consulting, sales, who knows, but they work really hard and then next thing you know, they roll in the dough. And rolling in the dough allows the employees to have a good time. It's not the type where, oh, you know, people at the top just keep the money and then everybody's just a worker bee and gets nothing. No, these are the type of companies where a lot of the people who are doing the work have stake and everybody benefits. So everybody parties, which means everybody goes on the company trip. It could be a retreat, it could be or a conference where like people come to your company to buy your product, whatever. But these things are typically held at hotels and in really awesome locations and places that encourage drinking and fun. And what ends up happening, especially when you have leadership that is like they go all out. You know, they're go all out people. They're like party, 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 go hard, have as much as you want, have as much to drink as you want. You're still not drunk yet. I mean, these are bosses who act like this. This isn't just, hey, all the bosses are gone while the cat's away, guys. Let's have fun. We're the little guys. No, these are your bosses who are literally passing the shot, the bar to you. I've worked in that type of situation before. And it's really hard to stay out of it. Like when you're invited in to it, like it's like, oh, here, we do this, we do this, we do this, we do this. And so it's very sad because it can quickly go from a place where you just want the people who work hard to have fun to where people are becoming, you know, victims of something that really shouldn't happen. Like, let's just be honest, your boss really shouldn't be shoving the pills down your throat. It just should that's just one line that shouldn't be crossed. Okay. Just
Right,
saying,
yeah.
like I think we should all agree that unless it's a nitrous pill for your heart attack that you're having, like that there shouldn't be drugs going down your throat at the hands of your boss. And it's really easy for people to kind of get caught up in that, to, you know, get drunk, have stupid either participate in stupid things or have stupid things happen to them because they don't have all their faculties. And it's
Right.
also a breeding ground for people who would be predators if
Right.
especially if their behavior isn't going to get checked. And then there are people who come into this being like, well, everybody else is doing it, so I guess I'm supposed to act like this too. It's just a really it's a very complex the cluster of things that happen. Like, and I'm saying this from my own experience that I've worked in somewhere where, you know, you literally look at this and you're like, yeah, this is bad. And I kind of wish I never involved myself with this. So I feel for people, especially the women who are involved, because bad shit happens. And it's not right. And they weren't protected.
Right. And this is like, because I've heard of that, those type of things. I've never been on a like a company retreat or anything like that, but I've heard of, you just you hear stories, and such and such was like, I've gone to events that was thrown by either my previous place of employment or my wife's, and someone had a little too much to drink, and they start, I don't know, they don't really get into a fight, but they start arguing with someone, and then security comes and takes them out because it was like, even though there's going to be alcohol here, we're going to protect everyone. Whereas this was like, there's no protection, there's
None.
no nobody was thinking like this could go wrong, and then so that's those set of people, like the people who don't understand that you're walking into a dangerous situation, or you might be participating in dangerous behavior. But then there's the other group that they mentioned, that made fun of rape, that made fun of,
Exactly.
they thought it was, joking about what they can and can't do, and, harassing people. Because it wasn't, from what I'm getting from this story, is that a lot of the stuff was brought up. It just wasn't publicly brought up, but a lot of stuff was brought up in-house, and nothing was done. Similar to Ubisoft, where they would have complaints, you know, they would go to HR, but HR failed to do their job or whatever the case may be, or the person who was, you know, accused of abusing someone or hurting someone just was moved to another department as opposed to firing or, you know, whatever the case may be. And it makes it difficult to actually kind of stand up for yourself. Yeah. If no one's going to take you seriously, if the boss is in on it, like, that's rough. And then there's also, you know, I'm pretty sure a lot of these women are like, I want to be in this industry. How do I do it? And then if I go to another place, Ubisoft, this might happen, you know, or heck, not even just video games. We look at, you know, the virtual reality companies like Upload VR. They had a whole scandal too with having a room in the office that was just for, you know, trying to have sex with people, you know, stuff like that. And mind you, this is separate from Upload VR editorial. This was like the editorial is like a subsidiary. This is not those people. These are other people that handle the you know, the business side of things. And yeah, just all these bad stories about things that's happening and people not doing anything, or at the very least, they're not, you know, like a tap on the wrist type of thing. Like, you just move over here, and in some cases you get a bump in pay. You know what I mean? Like, exactly. And that's really rough.
It's not, especially like when you feel like the underdog in those types of situations, or, you know, if you come up, if you're saying something to the bosses, you're like, hey, this is how I feel, or this is wrong. And then they're just looking at, they'll literally tell you, that's just how we do things here. You know, if you can't hack it, then there's the door, but we really like having you. And where else can you work where you can, and you know, That's the conversation. Where else can you work where you can get X, Y, and Z? Like, it's such a trash situation, and it is what's the word? I can't figure out the word right now. But like you were saying, somebody might get a pay bump. That kind of behavior is not only tolerated; it's encouraged.
Right, right, and it's. And I think that's the same thing with you know, because a lot of people are asking, why aren't the men speaking up who aren't necessarily a part of it, but know that it's going on or hear about it. Like, I saw some, you know, tweets from devs who were like, you know, it sounds familiar. You know, I worked at another company where the same things were happening. And I'm like, maybe I'm just weird, but I don't just sit around while that's happening. Yeah. If I know it, I say something. I'm usually the person who gets in trouble because I'm saying something. I'm quick to be like, what? So to hear that all these things are happening and people are just kind of like, yeah, I'm just going to work on the next Call of Duty or the next, you know, World of Warcraft or whatever expansion, and just keep my head down and, you know, hopefully things will improve. And it's like, wow, like, wow. And then some of these people who are no longer at the company are still working at companies.
Yeah.
Like, they say that they've, you know, that was, and also there's this weird thing where people like to say that was the mark of the times, right? That's how it was back when. And I kind of want to be like, no, I am like, that's never been a good thing.
Yeah.
It was more tolerated. Right. It didn't end, because we heard about stories from Atari. How working at Atari, like, there would be hot tubs, and, you know, they were trying to, you know, ask the female employees to get in the hot tubs, and, you know, if you weren't with it, then you weren't hip, or you could potentially lose your job. And it's like, no, this was never okay. Just because people didn't speak up in the manner that we're doing today, because we have Twitter and platforms that we can do so, that doesn't mean it was okay. It wasn't okay then, it's not okay now.
Yeah.
And it doesn't take, it's not rocket science. Like, you don't need to harass women. Like, that's not.
You don't. And it's just so interesting how many places, like, that have gone down in flames with this. Like, for example, Vice. This happened to Vice years ago.
Yeah. Not
that many years ago, but some years ago. And it's kind of frustrating in a way, because, I shouldn't say frustrating in a way, but what was I trying to say? I remember the head of Vice stepped down. Like, he wasn't a part of that behavior, apparently, at least from what I read back in the day. But he's like, I was the boss, and and it happened under my watch. And so he left. And it's like, okay, it can happen here. It happened at, I think it happened at WeWork. If not, WeWork still was that frat boy style of place where they just party, 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 because they made so much money. Like WeWork was rolling in the dough, and they would have these crazy parties where people would literally get pissed drunk for 5 days straight because they would go on these long like retreats. And you're like, what is right. happening here? Like, if you're not drunk, you're on shrooms. Like, this is your job. This is where you work. And it even got to the point where these WeWork people were convinced to leave their homes and move into WeLive apartments so that they could be on site and work for the company while living for the company on company yeah. property. I mean, it's just really frustrating because I don't want to say, oh, I don't see how this is going to change, because it will change as long as we continue to bring light to this kind of stuff, as long as people continue to speak up. But it's very hard for people to speak up when they're struggling. People don't always speak up because they need the money. Like one of the articles had said how, you know, the women are accepting lower rates of pay because they don't even know that they can get paid higher because no one tells anyone. Because every time you take a new job, people always tell you, don't tell your salary to somebody. That's so they can control you. Like, don't right. share I could... your salary with others. That's BS. Everybody, if you're working in the same division doing the same type of work, y'all should be getting paid the same.
Right. And I can understand it in a sense where it depends on who is coming from. If me and you are working, because there's been times where I'm working with someone or we're all working in the same area, but mm-hmm. because I went above and beyond, I got a raise and they didn't.
Right.
Or the amount of the raise is different. And so someone might feel a way. So I can understand a person not wanting to share that part because they don't want to be looked at as like the outsider, if you will. Mm-hmm. Because it's merit based, right? But on the flip side, if your boss is telling you not to tell anyone the salary, it's typically not because of that reason. It's typically because someone is not getting paid properly. Mm-hmm. You know, it's because here's the thing. The issue I would have is like, it's within a few bucks. It's like, I got a $5 raise, you got a $3 raise. So you know what I'm saying? You feel away. But if we're both talking, we're both like, hey, we both got raises, mm-hmm. that's different. But on the other side, when the boss or the higher up say don't talk about pay, it's usually thousands of dollars of a difference. Like yeah. it's usually pretty bad. Like as we saw, I want to say last year, a lot of top editors at different websites, they expressed how much they got paid, how much their salary was. They even said what their starting salary was at different places, and it looked totally different from anyone who looked like me, like. Mm-hmm. who had the same amount of experience, you know, coming in and mm-hmm. we're still getting paid more. So like, yeah. that's rough. That's really, really rough. And so, yeah, that happens a lot where people don't know because you expect this much or for instance, all the women are getting paid a certain amount and the men are getting paid higher, but you don't know.
You don't know.
You know, or it's the fact that it's your dream job. And so you finally broke into game development, you're at a major studio, there's some messed up stuff happening, what do you do?
Yeah. I know.
It's definitely not an easy situation to be in. So I don't want to paint that picture. However, I think the people who are a little bit more insulated, the people who are a little bit more protected, need to speak up.
Because
it's much easier for a white male to get another gaming job or a game development job than a black woman. Or a gay person, or you know, whatever the case may be. Like, it's much, much easier. The people who are actually abusing people aren't getting fired. So,
exactly. People doing the abuse are getting the opportunity to walk away so that their image or name isn't tarnished, and then they go get another job somewhere else before shit actually hits the fan.
Right.
People
like, they're
walk away quietly.
Yeah. Like, there's nothing. They're not being canceled at all. They're in the hot seat for a little bit, then they get hired somewhere else. That's what's been happening. And so, yeah, it doesn't. And I get it, because I worked in a tough place, and you know, you have people that depend on you and things of that nature. But at some point, you got to take a stand on something. Like, I don't know how you would look at yourself in the mirror if you're just okay with this. And then to find out that one of your, teammates or whatever the case may be, committed suicide over this. Yeah. Like, and you're still going to work there? Come on, son.
Yeah, that, like, it obviously, I wish that this could have gotten under control prior to this person committing suicide. But if somebody literally takes their life because of what they experienced on that trip, like they, whatever they experienced was so dehumanizing that they couldn't look at themselves alive for another moment. And y'all still gonna work there? Like, that's also another topic of cycles of abuse, because in the cycle of abuse, you can't leave. And a lot of employers actually rely on that. Doesn't matter how bad it gets, they know people will stay. And that's kind of like what I was saying, how somebody could literally look at you and be like, don't know where else you're going to get this. Don't know where else you're going to get that. I had a guy tell me once when I took a job as a hostess, and the hostess pay was so low. I took the job at the restaurant that I won't name, as I wanted to be a waitress. I always thought I would be a good waitress when I was growing up, when I was younger. And I wanted to be a waitress, and they said, we don't give waitress jobs to people with no experience. So you have to start off as a hostess. I said, okay, fine. Now, getting to that restaurant was a little bit difficult for me. Like, there was no bus that went straight there, so I would have to rely on my friend to take me to work there. And I got hired. Like, I did my interview and everything, and I did a really good job, and he hired me.
And word.
I remember going to work, and I didn't ask him how much I got paid. Like, I actually realized that I didn't ask him that. And I can't remember. I cannot remember how much I was getting paid. I just know it was under $10 an hour. And by this time, I was already 21 years old. I wasn't going to accept a job that low. I honestly think it was like $6 an hour. Okay.
That sounds about right.
Yeah. And I was like, I just didn't ask because I assumed, I think I had already assumed that it was going to be over, or it was going to be $10 or $11 an hour as a hostess. And I was 21, so this was a long time ago. And I remember working there my first shift, and then working there my second shift. And then I was supposed to come in my third shift, and I think I had already called, and when I found out how much I was getting paid, and I called him, and I was like, you know, I don't think I can work here. And he was like, no, why don't you come in, come in for your shift or whatever. I came in and I talked to him, and I was like, you know what? I can't work for this low. Like, I can't do it. It's six [S2] Right. [S1] Bucks an hour. I can't work this much. It was like six or five. Like, honestly, it was super low. And he said to me, well, he goes, there's no other job that you're going to find in this area that's going to pay you more than 10 bucks an hour. You're not going to find it. And he raised his voice so everybody in the restaurant could hear him. Talked down to me and told me that he didn't know where I was. Not just he didn't know. He said, you aren't going to find another job anywhere that's going to pay you as much as you think you're going to get paid. There's no place here that'll ever pay you without experience. And I was sitting here like, dude, before I worked here, I worked at Old Navy and they paid me more money than you. So like, somebody sit there and talk to me like I'm an idiot, you know, like fresh out the womb. And mind you, I was kind of used to being treated like this. I have been mistreated in my employment for my entire career. Like, I shouldn't say career, but almost every job I've had, I've been mistreated or talked to like I was a rag. And I just couldn't believe like that this was happening. There were people, or like people heard this, and that just made me want to leave even more. And I couldn't over talk him. But like, just him yelling at me and talking down to me that like, basically, I'll never have anything. This is a freaking hostess job.
Right. This is not that serious. Like, for you to like lose yourself. But that's what it is. It's they're manipulating you or trying to manipulate you so you can be appreciative of the scraps that you're given. Yeah.
And that is abuse. And a lot lots of jobs. I mean, like, honestly, I really just think he was upset that he didn't have enough time to turn me into one of his play toys, like the other girls that were working there. Because I'm like, I do know that you're sleeping with probably at least three of the waitresses. I've been here for 3 days, dude. Sorry, it's not going to happen, and I'm leaving. And
it's, yeah. It's so unfortunate, man. It's mad unfortunate. And it happens in so many different places, so many different ways, different places that I've worked at, where you didn't, like, you knew something wasn't up, you know, on the up and up, but you didn't know exactly what was happening. And then you go and speak to someone, and you're like, wait, that happened? That's what that is? Like,
right.
And so then you have to kind of, how are we handling this? You know, that would be my MO. Like, what are we doing now? We gonna go talk to him? We gonna wait at, we he gets off of work? What are we doing? You know, that's my MO. I swear, like, I have to, sometimes the way my wife tells me stories, she has to be like, you know, and just let you know everything's cool. But it's like, do I need to come up there? Like, what did Wayne Brady say? Does Brady have to slap a bit? Like, yeah, like that's the vibe. That really is. But because people will do, like, I remember she was telling me that she was training someone who, I guess because he was a guy, didn't like being trained by a woman. He didn't like that she was his boss. And so would basically not listen to her, but listen to like men, like whoever was there. And it got to the point where, and it wasn't just her, it was someone else too. And it got to the point where they had to let him go because he just would not, you know, respect their authority or respect their position. They had been there for years and the company backs them. So he just made a complete fool of himself because he thought the company was, you know, ran by a lot of people who are, and mind you, no company is perfect. I'm not going to say that they, you know, they're great all around, but I'm just saying, like, it was like, no, this person has been here for a long time. Like, what are you talking about? Like, you know, they don't know what they're talking about. They don't know what they're doing. They've trained all these people. You see all the people, that person, you know, the person you're going to eventually be working for, she trained them too. So what are you talking, you know what I mean? Like, you just look real goofy right now. But some people have this weird disposition, like, you know, if you are, you're better if you're like a man. And I don't understand how that works per se. But, you know, you can't reason with everyone. Some people just should not be in positions of power, at least until they've grown out of this immaturity that they have for so many different things. And it doesn't seem to be happening because they get paid a silly amount, and all these things are beneath them. And then there's also the fact that they've never once experienced any of these things personally. Mm-hmm. None of them have. Mm-hmm. And then even more sadder. Yeah, that's how you say it. Sadder is that there are some people of color who were given decent positions who join in the coonery. Yeah. So they can keep their positions. So basically they put their own people down in order to hang out with these white people. And you look real bad. Like, you look real bad. Some of those, there was some people of color in that, that Cosby Suite photo. And you look real, like, you look real, real goofy. And, you know, they were trying to explain it away. Like, you know, it was, you know, we were just joking, or it was then, I'm not like that anymore. It's like, nah. You need to do more than that.
Mm-mm. Like, you can't say that I was joking. Like, that's just something. You know what? Try not to joke. This word of advice. Just try not to joke about recent things that have happened that put people in jail, and then post them online so that they never disappear and your face is in them. Just try to stay away from that kind of behavior. How about that?
Like, well, it wasn't even, well, I don't think, I'm trying to figure out if it was posted on Twitter. I know someone got the picture, because that's the thing. It's been leaking. There's things that have been leaking that was done behind the scenes. They took a picture and I guess they shared it through like a company forum or something like that. Someone screenshot it and posted it. And then there's also like some old tweets that they didn't delete and stuff like that. But it's why are you ever joking about rape? Like, yeah. That has never been a comical thing. And even the, as much as I think Dave Chappelle is funny, even his rape jokes are just bad. Like, there's not, it's really not funny.
Yeah.
Like, I cannot, you know, admonish him too much because of, I can see what he was trying to say or trying to do, but it's just not funny. It's just not.
Yeah.
It's not. Heck, I stopped watching, and I know I'm going to get some flack from this, but I stopped watching Rick and Morty. I didn't really like the show a whole lot, to be honest with you, but there was an episode where, I guess, Morty, the young one, Morty, they were like on an adventure, and Morty was like, you know, I'm going to make all the rules because Rick, you always make the rules when we go out in an adventure. And they went to, they're like, you know, going through different dimensions and stuff like that. And there's an episode where they go to, it's like a bar, and he's like, you know, I'm going to do whatever I want. And he goes to the bathroom, and an alien there tries to rape him. And he's like fighting him off or whatever. And it's like, you know, it's one of those things where like, it's partly a gag. It's partly also, you know, like a learning moment. Like, he shouldn't go off by himself. You're still a kid. But I'm like, why is this here? Like, why are we? And I just felt the way. I'm like, this isn't funny. Same thing with Quagmire off of Family Guy. Like, there's just, it's just not funny to me because, you know.
Why is Quagmire always trying to rape women?
I don't know.
I mean, it's obvious why, like, because he just can't. But it's that's the problem. That's one of the problems, because we comedify rape, because if a guy has problems getting a girl, then he'll just, you know, I forgot the word, but reduce himself to just raping, because that's the only way he's going to get someone. And I'm like,
it's not funny. I've never found those jokes funny. I found them mad cringe, creepy. Yeah. And I guess it's, you know, again, if you've never experienced or had someone experience anything, you know, of the kind, then maybe those things are funny. You know, I know that those shows are wildly popular and blah, 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 blah. But those segments are just never freaking funny to me. And I don't understand the mindset you have to put yourself in to be able to think that that's funny. I just don't. Yeah. So, and this isn't, you know, holier than thou, you know, type, you know, rhetoric or whatever. I probably laugh at some stuff that other people think is mad cringe. Actually, my wife looked at me funny because I, so there's a friend of mine, he does like animated videos, him and a crew, they do animated videos where they kind of just, they put songs together with different anime characters. So like, there's one song that they did for Valentine's Day where, you know, Gotenks and Trunks are talking about what could they give their mothers for Valentine's Day. And they're both break into a duet about how they should sleep with each other's moms. And
how old are Goten and Trunks at this point? They're still little Goten and Trunks?
I think so. It's been a while. It's been years. But it's done in like a 90s R&B, just really, really goofy way. And it was hilarious to me, and I can understand it not being funny, but so she looked at, I showed it to her. I was like, this is hilarious, right? And she's like, no, this is, why would that be funny? And I'm like, but so my brain is the absurdity. Like, yeah. Why would you couldn't get flowers. You couldn't get a card, chocolates. You went straight to this. And she was like, but these are two kids. And I'm like, okay, I see what you're saying. Like, my whole thing was the song and dance, not so much the actual activity. So I can kind of, I can understand if that's the case. If that's what you're thinking about, like, you know, Quagmire is so over the top that that's what makes it funny. Fine. I'll let you have it. But yeah, I'm not better than anybody else is what I'm trying to say. I'm really not. But you know, I think certain things are, because here's the thing with that, right? It's not saying that their moms are going to agree. If anything, they're going to be grounded, or like in Trunks' case, knocked in the head. Like, what are you even thinking about? You know what I'm saying? Like, this is not going to happen. These are two kids singing a song about something that they're never going to be able to do, right? Versus a adult man trying to slip, you know, something in someone's drink. That's yeah. that's a little different. That to me, I don't know, whatever. But no, anywho, aside from that, we wanted to talk about. So we got the important stuff out of the way. We did want to make mention of what's been happening in the gaming industry and kind of, you know, update you if you haven't been, you know, abreast of all the things that is going on. I know that I'm, for the most part, probably not going to be buying any games from Activision or playing any games from Activision. And I say probably because I also, as a freelance writer, I do cover stuff for different websites. So there's a chance I might be asked or assigned something. Yeah. But even then, I do have a leeway where I could be like, you know what, I don't want to do that. So I most likely won't be playing until something is changes, they make a you know, they fire the people they need to fire, they meet those demands that were being, you know, brought up or whatever the case may be. Like, until they do that, I'm not going to be playing any Activision or Blizzard games. Yeah. Just throwing that out there. But the second thing we wanted to talk about, which is not important at all, was Gunpowder Milkshake. This movie... it'll be easy to kind of be like, this is like a John Wick or a Pig, the recently released Pig movie with Nicolas Cage. It could be, you know, you could say it's something like that where one person essentially takes down a group of people in the graphic detail after being right. wronged. I think it's a little bit more on the John Wick side because there's a secret society of assassins and all this good stuff. And that in and of itself is intriguing, which made me want to see it. And then the fact that it looked like a comic book. When I saw the trailer, it looked like a big comic book. And then the yeah. title screams comic. So I was like, okay, this is going to be John Wick-ish. This is going to be some cool action scenes, over-the-topness, silly. And for the most part, it was kind of that. Mm-hmm. And it was stylized. It was stylish. And it wasn't that very good. It wasn't very good. It wasn't. Yeah. There was some bad acting, some implausible things. And I don't mean implausible in the sense of like over the top. I mean, like you set like rules and then you broke them immediately. Like there's a scene where the main character gets injected with something into her arms that make her arms basically useless to the point where she has to tell a kid to tape a gun to her hand and tape a knife to her hand. Yeah. The fight scene is hilarious. She's flinging around. She's stabbing people. She's jumping all over the place. It's great. But then she's also pulling the trigger. And I'm like, how if your hands are... Yep. You know, and it's very easy to say, like, you know, just overlook that. It's okay. Just go with it. But there's so much of that happening that it's like, what? Why are you, why would you just give her two knives then and just let her, you know, like you didn't have to do that. You didn't have to go this far. But that said, I still enjoyed it. I think the scene with the little kid and her like driving where she couldn't drive. So the kid was like putting the car in reverse and stuff like that. Phenomenal. Awesome shots. And the way that they, you know, completed the action segments in that was really, really good. Mm-hmm. They had a stellar cast that was unfortunately misused. And
I agree.
It was very much a popcorn film that I enjoyed the ride and I don't really have to ever go back to it.
Yeah.
That's kind of how I feel about it. And I like the stylings, which is kind of also unfortunate. There's things that they did that's really, really cool that really, really kind of differentiates itself from the other films of this ilk. But then they just yeah. didn't capitalize on a lot of things. They kind of left a lot to you know, I don't want to say up in the air, but they left a lot of potential on the table.
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah.
That is exactly what I felt like. Yes, there was so much potential just misused. I'm like, why? There was a whole library full of stuff. Why did we only get the self-help section like close to the end of the movie? Like,
there's so many gags.
So many. And I was just like, there's so much that they packed into the movie and then just chose not to explain that it could have been a series. And I honestly thought yeah. it was going to be. I thought it was, even when you first were like, oh, Gunpowder Milkshake, and I was like, oh yeah, cool, thanks Netflix, give me a little series to watch. Like, it would have been a cool, like, 6-part series or something, since,
yeah.
you know, they decided to give us Loki in 6 parts, which I'm sorry, it was a whole lot of talking. They talked so much in Loki, and I'm like, well, if you were going to talk this much, why didn't you give me 8 episodes? You could have packed more action into it. But, you know, they gave us, there's so much that they didn't discover, that they didn't develop, they didn't go through, they didn't talk more about. And I find that disappointing, because it was good stuff. It was good stuff. And I'm sitting here just, I'm left a little disappointed, but at the same time, the car scene really did make up for a lot of things. I just love her yelling hard left. And this little girl is literally listening. If somebody told me hard left 5 times, I definitely would have made a right.
I was waiting for that. I was waiting for them to crash. She did a amazing job. I actually like I like some of the ambiguity. I can't talk tonight. Good God. Breaking the fourth wall a little bit. We record at night, and this is after the day. So if you had a stressful day, that kind of seeps into the recording. And so, I've been doing a lot of writing, a lot of, you know, talking and whatnot. And when I get to this point, I'm like, my words are just falling out of my head. I'm not like, yeah, I'm was it mush mouth from Fat Albert? Yeah. It's not working for me. But anywho, I like some of the stuff that they don't explain. Like in John Wick, there's this whole like secret assassin guild. There's places where you can't assassinate people. There's this money that they only spend with each other. They don't spend it anywhere else. And somehow it holds value. There's assassins who pretend to be homeless people. There are assassins who are part of gangs. They're just all over the place. And they have all their different rules. And so you're kind of like learning as you go, which is really, really cool because it's already established. We're not really spending a ton of time explaining things. What makes it bad here is that there's a lot of halfness in it.
Yeah.
Like when you find out things in John Wick, it's there's an action to go with it. Like this money is for this particular purpose and only. So you don't know how the money came about. You don't need to know. You just need to know that it does this particular thing. In this case, they kind of flash something and then it goes away. Like why are I get that they're giving people guns and they're selling guns, trading guns, that sort of thing. But why are they all in the books? Like if you're a straight up library,
yeah,
right? It makes sense to hide the guns in a place where people wouldn't find it. But if you're a real library, why would you have all of the books hollowed out with gold bars and knives and guns and I don't even know what else? Why would that be up front where people can just, like if I just stumbled into the library, would they kill me? Or would they just, because that's the difference with the hotel with John Wick. It was like regular people live here too, but they don't know what to say or what to do to get to the certain levels that we can. It's you know, hiding in plain sight. The library, it makes no sense. It makes no sense. And there's never anybody ever in the library, maybe because they killed everybody. So they're like, you know, hey, stay clear of that place, but it doesn't make any sense. And so that's why it's like, no, you need to explain this. You need to explain how this works because it doesn't make any sense. You know, you know, there's certain the diner. The diner made sense because it's like, okay, this is a meeting place for assassins, and you can't have your weapons in here. Okay, I don't really need to know much more about how this, you know, this was established. You know, it's anybody could come in and you know order something. You would never know that assassins are meeting in a booth beside you. Cool, but the library though, come on, son. Like
it makes no sense.
There's a bunch of that in the movie. There's a scene where a character tells someone to be quiet, and then right after slamming a door, like, oh my gosh, it's kind of like no one asked questions.
None.
Like this is a thing that happens, and everything that happened before and after don't matter. It's just happening right now, and because of that, there's a constant nagging of, wait, why are we doing this again? Why are we going over here? And that takes you out of it versus, you know, and granted, John Wick isn't perfect by far, but I'm just saying, just based on like, you know, we're doing a comparison. There's a lot of things that you didn't need an explanation for. You just kind of like, oh, this makes sense. Or at the very least, it made enough sense where I can let it go. Not so much here. And then they didn't let certain characters like just flourish. Mm-hmm. They're like, you're a really cool character, and we're just gonna get a few lines from you, and you know, that's about it. It was just so much on the table that they just kind of just fumbled all over the place. And I don't know, you know, there could be budget restraints for certain things, or maybe they were just going for the humor. I don't know.
I just feel like, how would there be budget restraint? They were blowing things up. They used slow-mo shots on the guns.
Like, it was way too much slow-mo.
There was a lot of it. They put a lot of effort into this. Like, this wasn't one of the movies where they paid a lot of money for great actors. Because they, I mean, come on. You had Paul Giamatti in this movie. Like, come on, man.
I mean, that could have went to it. There's a lot of A-listers here.
It was a lot of A-listers. The whole team, I mean, was good people, and people coming off of Marvel's success. These are A-listers, all of them. But the movie still looked good. It didn't look like they cut corners on the shooting. Like the place that they cut corners on was the writing. And that's, you don't have to pay a lot for that. That's why I feel like a child wrote this and somebody said, wait a minute, so-and-so, the producer's son, wrote a story, and it was probably 7 pages on 5x7 note cards and written in crayon. And somebody was like, this is great, let's turn this into a movie. Like, wait, seriously, your kid's 7 and they wrote this? Okay, cool, let's develop this. And they gave it to a junior screenwriter to like develop, and boom, they're like, hey, we need this done by Saturday. I've got all the actors in the same city at the same time. We got to go. We got to roll. There was no massaging of the dough here. There was no time to let the dough rise. There was no punching of the dough down. There was no proofing of the croissants. Like, there was nothing. They didn't do any of that. But again, I mean, it was cool to watch.
It was. It reminded me of, what is that movie? Ah, crap. The one from Jack Snyder's film. Hold on. Jack Snyder? It's the one where, what is it? It's it's like the people are in an insane asylum. Is it Jack's? Sucker Punch. It reminded me of Sucker Punch. Sucker Punch was like, visually a treat.
Yeah.
Oh man, it's not good, but it's visually like horrible. It's visually like I almost want to buy it just because it looks so good. Stylistic, the fight scenes, the environments, even like was really cool. Like, it was really, really cool, but it lacked a lot of things that, you know, what's interesting too is that it's not even on the par of like an 80s film. You know, like people joke about 80s action films. They're you put your brain away. It's not even on that level. It's not, because at least the story from A to B makes sense. It makes sense. It's not a good story, but it makes sense. Yeah. You kidnapped dude's daughter. He's going to shoot you up. That makes sense. Yeah. But there's things here that don't make sense. Okay. You know, and that's kind of what, you know, Gunpowder Milkshake does. Again, entertaining. You know, there was some really cool fight scenes with them. There's actually a hilarious scene with when she meets up with guys who kidnapped this person's daughter. She gives them a bunch of money to get the daughter back. She goes after them, and they get in a fight and kill each other. And it was great. I thought I was laughing. Maybe I shouldn't have laughed. I thought it meant to be comedic. Even if it wasn't, it was great. It was very funny.
It was funny. I like how she was like, oh man, when she saw him pull out the grenade. But like, I personally was, this is kind of where the badness really started for me. Like, where I knew the movie wasn't going to be good. It was like, so she didn't have a good plan. Like, she's supposed to be this cool assassin. She's clearly been doing assassin work for the last 15 years. And, you know, since she was a teenager or whatever, but she's clearly good at killing. She just killed a whole rack of people that she was told to kill nonetheless. And then she's trying to do a side job real quick so that she can make something right. But she doesn't completely figure how she's going to give the money and get the money back. That's what bothered me. There's no movie I feel that I have seen where you have spies, assassins, or whatever, who don't have a plan under a plan baked into a plan when it comes to retrieving what is a kidnapped person called?
Oh, a hostage.
A hostage.
She was winging it.
Completely. Like, okay, well, I'm going to go in there with the money, and then I'm just going to do what they say, and I'm going to get the kid. And then when they run away with the money, I'll follow them.
They're in a car.
Nothing made sense. Like, but is this how you usually work? Because if this is how you usually work, then your handler had all the reason to want you dead.
Yeah.
You're just a sloppy assassin. I don't know how you made it this far being alive, outside of the fact that clearly you've got mad ninja skills. But I was just like, from that moment, I was just like, this is going to be bad, isn't it? But the saving grace of that moment was the grenade.
Yeah, it was just funny, like, for them to fall out so bad that it was like, oh, she didn't even need a plan. Oh, crap. There goes the money. Oh, well.
And then she didn't even care. She was just like, so, oh, well, about the money. The man told you 3 times, if you do this, you will die. And she's like, yeah, I'm just going to do it. With her deep ass voice.
Yeah, she's like, I'm just going to, you know, I'm going to do whatever. I'm just going to do whatever. And, you know, it's, and this is not, you know, to be like, it's not nitpicking in the sense of like CinemaSins. It's not what we're doing. It's the idea that you create something and you kind of got to stick by it. You know, when you look at, you know, like the other assassin films that we made mention of, or the action thrillers, whatever the case may be, there's a thing that you kind of stick by to stay in character, to stay in the world, to kind of make sense of things. And when you start to do random stuff that kind of betrays the character, it stands out. It stands out. Because it's not normal for them. She's extremely cool, calm, collective. She is better than everybody at this job, apparently. Yeah. And then it's like just fumbling with things. And to the point where, I mean, she killed 3 guys without her arms.
Yeah.
So what? Like, you couldn't. And I get it. She's never rescued anyone before. You know, I understand that. But I expected, like, you know, she had a secret gun somewhere, or, you know, just something, or she was just going to beat them up. Like, just, here's the money. You guys run out the back. I'm just going to beat you up or whatever. But it was kind of like, all right, just sit here. I'm going to go chase after them. And hopefully I'll get to them before they escape.
And just so that I can get to them before they escape and then come back and hope that you're still in the shopping cart where I left you. Like,
yeah. And it was one of those things where, like, I think what also makes me upset sometimes is that, because, you know, people will kind of defend things. They're like, well, what is she supposed to do? And I'm like, you know, you didn't have to write this in the story.
Yeah.
Like, you could have, there could have been any other way that the money, you know, got blown up. There's a million of different ways that you could have made this happen, where she had to come to blows with her employers without this being a thing. You didn't have to go this route. You chose violence. You really did. And now you have to see it through, unfortunately. Like, people love to be like, you know, well, how would you have made it better? I wouldn't have wrote this mess to begin with.
Yeah, I would not have gone this direction. I mean, like, seriously, Kill Bill is still very good. It's just the fact that it was, let me kill all these people so I can get to Bill and I can get my kid back. It was very successful for a reason.
Well, but yeah, it's the things that, like, the stuff that they set out to do, they accomplished. Yeah. Nothing was betrayal, like betraying the character, Uma Thurman's character. Everything she did made sense. There was no point where you're questioning what is happening? Why is it happening? How did this happen? You go along with it. And even though there's things that happen in the world that don't make sense in terms of our reality, because they set up the rules and they stuck by them, you can kind of, you can let stuff go.
Yeah.
Like, I don't foresee someone climbing out of their own casket, like in Kill Bill. but based on the footage that they had before, where she's learning with a, you know, like her master who can remove people's eyes with his fingers, it's like, okay, this is certainly a doable thing within this universe, and it works. You know what I'm saying? And it's not to say that you have to explain it, but you have to, we have to be able to follow along at the very least.
Yeah, I agree.
That being said, I don't want to discourage anyone from watching, you know, Gunpowder Milkshake. It's still entertaining. Besides all the stuff that I'm saying, it's still entertaining. I wouldn't necessarily give it a rotten on Rotten Tomatoes. I know that that line is very thin, but it would probably be like, you know, a 6 out of 10 maybe for me. And most of it is from the action scenes that I did enjoy. And, you know, the actress that were in the film, I think they did a good job. I just think that the material wasn't as strong as it could have been. It felt like it wanted to be a comic book without knowing kind of what makes comic books work, which is kind of sad because a lot of adaptations outside of Marvel have been terrible. So the bar was kind of low. The bar was kind of low. But definitely go check it out. It is on Netflix right now. And see if you like it. Maybe you know, you'll feel like we're nitpicking. Maybe you think it'll be better. Maybe things work for you or not. But it's something to talk about. Go check that out. Also, if you have a chance and you dig horror, check out the Fear Street films. I saw all three. It's actually based off of the Fear, so not all the Fear Street books. It's based off of, there's a trilogy of books. Because it was like Fear Street, and then there's a special trilogy with one story that kind of goes through the whole thing in different time periods. And that's where the three films kind of base their content off of. And it works really well. It feels like a rated R Goosebumps. Mm-hmm. I mean, granted, you know, R.L. Stein, duh. But it feels like a rated R Goosebumps in the sense that it doesn't feel like a normal slasher or a normal horror film. It feels very much immature, but written well. And is pretty good. It's weird. It's a juxtaposition of these two things. But if you look at the Goosebumps show, and how corny that can be, and then make it rated R. And that's essentially what you have with a little bit better writing. It's not bad, though. It's definitely not bad. It's not the typical, you know, granted, teens shouldn't be watching, you know, obviously, slashers like Scream and stuff like that, or, you know, back in the day, Friday the 13th. But those films were pretty much like adult films that teens went and watched, so they made a lot of money in that sense. This feels like a teen film that's trying to be like those, but is still very much immature, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But good, though. Good. That's also on Netflix, so definitely go check that out. I've watched a lot in the past 2 weeks because I realized there's a lot to talk about. There's a lot of things that's going on and a lot of content because people won't stop. Or I should say companies won't stop. HBO keeps dumping stuff onto their platform. You know, Netflix, every week there's another film. I'm still catching up on stuff. And so that gives us a lot to talk about. And so even though we're not going to do a whole episode on Fear Street, or maybe we will, I don't know. But for right now, if we don't, I still wanted to say something about it because I thought it was really good. But yeah, outside of that, feel free to follow us. If you're listening on YouTube, feel free to subscribe and hit that notification bell so you're up on all the new content that's coming out. And if you're not listening on YouTube, definitely add us to your RSS feed. Subscribe. You know, if you're on Spotify, Apple, Google, you know, Deezer, Steezer, all those different places, definitely do so. We appreciate you listening to us this long. We have many, 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 many more episodes ahead of us. And we're only going to improve. So you kind of want to be here now so you can see the improvement. Don't be one of those people that come on late. You know, you want to brag. You want to be like, yeah, I was there day one or day 50. You know, that's where you kind of want to be. So definitely, if you dig what you heard, follow, subscribe, and share.
Yes, I agree. I second all the things that Kenny just said. But yeah, I don't really have much else to add. Thank you guys again for listening. It's great to be back here every week. Well, you know, we try, but life gets
right.
Right. Yeah. But this is usually a point where I say, make sure that you wash your faces and your butts.
Right.
In that order. And to be kind. Don't be a dick. Please get your vaccines if you can. If
yes.
If you are vaccine eligible, please get a vaccine. Just bite the bullet and do it. We've all done it. And I say or all. Like, it's just us two, but we hate.
Or at least stay the hell away from me. That's you know.
What I'm saying. If you're not going to get it, stay away from people. Stop getting on planes. And if you're
mask not, up.
Please wear your mask. Just please. Their mask mandates are coming back, everybody. And sorry, we are maskers. Like, we believe in wearing your mask.
Facts.
So, you know, if you don't, well, you know, that's on you. But anyway, Delta is no joke, and neither is that Lambda, apparently. So take care of yourselves, guys. Be healthy. Be safe. We love you. Be kind. And we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.